Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to BDSIR Networks Presents No Foul Play. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, I want to apologize. I want to apologize to everyone that we haven't had any content in about a month. Unfortunately, I went through a rough patch and I had thieves actually break into my house, stole my PlayStation 4, stole my computer, a bunch of other valuables inside my home, and hence why I haven't been able to be on the air, at least recording shows for you guys. And also on top of that, I've also gotten a promotion at work. So it's kind of like the times have kind of been, messed up, and also the unfortunate thing of the theft. But I finally got a computer back, which means you should start seeing more content. We'll try to bring it to you at a regularly scheduled on Sundays at 7:30 to record. But this is actually going to go up today on Tuesday, February the 18th. We just saw a couple of Champions League round matches. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But tonight I am joined by Momo. Momo, what's going on? Welcome back. It's been a while, man.
Been too long, man. But, you know, unfortunately in life, as we all know, crap happens.
Yeah.
Those a-holes that did that disgusting thing to you won't get their comeuppance. And, you know, it's just good that nobody was hurt, I guess, in the end, man. Because obviously possessions are good and nice, but, you know, at the end of the day, no one was hurt. So that's the main thing, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, when I got in here, you know, everything seemed right. And then I looked around and I'm like, where the hell is my PlayStation? Where the hell is my computer? And then I called, like, hysterically the people that actually live here, and they're like, I don't know, we were never there. And then I saw prints, like fingerprints and handprints all over my sliding door that actually connects to my room and to the outside. And I do have four dogs, so at least thank God that my dogs are okay. You know what I mean? Like you said, no one was hurt. So what matters to me mostly, my most prized possession, is obviously my fur babies, because if something were to happen to them, then definitely I probably would have been in jail or in prison, because I would have looked for the son of a bitch that actually did this. That's why I normally don't curse, but you know what? It is an unfortunate thing, but like Momo said, no one was hurt. It's all material things from now on. It's nothing but positives in the future, man. So let's get to this. And Momo, man, since we haven't been recording in roughly about a month, we're just going to do an overall synopsis of what the leagues have been since the last time we recorded. We're also going to talk about, obviously, the Champions League, a little bit also about the international break and some of these World Cup qualifiers that have happened in both Europe and South America and also all around the world. And on top of that, I wanted to actually kick it off with the English Championship. And the reason why I want to talk about it with the English Championship is because there's a couple of familiar face teams out there that were obviously they're Premier League teams. Like if you look at them, they're actually Premier League teams. And with them, one of them being Aston Villa. And I was just talking to you about it briefly before we started recording the show. And I was looking at Villa once again. Aston Villa, we know that they were in the Premier League last season. Obviously, finally got relegated. First time they ever got relegated in the Premier League era. Down into the English Championship. And you told me a stat that was scary, that they have won only one game. And how many was it? 13? 13 games?
13 games, one win, 9 draws, 3 losses.
That is insane. That is crazy. And Aston Villa, once again, right now, 86 minutes right now, they're drawing against Reading away from home. And they're a team right now, they're fighting relegation going into the Championship, into League One. Yes, it is still very early. It's still very early in the season. We have another 34 or 33 games left to go in the Championship. But it's alarming for a team like Aston Villa. We know that they also hired a previous manager in Roberto Di Matteo, who won, he also won a couple of European championships, also won, in various leagues. And obviously he got sacked, I think it was 3 weeks ago, which tells you how bad the organization is run over at Aston Villa, man.
Aston Villa basket case is a wrong word. Sorry, I won't say that. That's wrong. I don't know how to describe it, man, because Villa are a big club, but I don't like calling them a big club, because, and that's not any guys listening to the show, like, it's not to offend you saying that Villa's not a big club, because I know that they are. But in terms of a big club, I mean, it's like saying Liverpool a big club. Liverpool are a big club, but they've not had the massive fall from grace the likes that Villa have. Because Villa, as you've mentioned, they've won European trophies, man. They've beat European finals. At least Liverpool, when Liverpool fall from grace, at least their fall from grace only hits 8th or 9th, maybe. So it's not like a massive, huge collapse. Like
well,
Villa
actually,
has suffered that night.
Let me stop you there. Villa just scored. It is now 2-1. They're up against Reading. That means they're about to get the second win in the championship this season.
No
way. And if that happens, right now they're at -2. They'll go to -1. They'll catapult roughly about 2 spots, and they'll be leveled with Ipswich. At 14 points, if the result holds.
Well, that's interesting, you know, because that, you know, I mean, I said that Villa, I may have said Villa might get relegated, I may have said the opposite, but that could be a starter. I mean, you know yourself how difficult championship is. Look at Huddersfield last season. For a long time, I was like, oh, Huddersfield's going to struggle, they're going to go down. Up until about 2 weeks ago, they're top of the bloody league for the entire season, up until like last weekend, the weekend before. So it just shows you everything can happen in the championship.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is deemed the hardest league in the entire planet. I'm getting used to the championship now that they're showing it more here in the United States, thanks to our friends over at BN Sports. And I'm able to actually catch some championship games. And believe it or not, there are some games, or actually the majority of the games in the championship, at least from what I've seen, they're far more exciting than they are in the Premier League. And I mean, you know, I always dub, and I think most of us here dub the Premier League to be the most competitive league in the planet. Not saying that is the best quality, but it definitely is the most competitive league in the planet, which makes it the best league in the world, Momo. But that isn't top flight. But, I mean, if you compare the championship to the Premier League in terms of intensity, I don't think there's anything more intense than the championship.
I agree with most of what you said there, man. I mean, it's just a ridiculously competitive league. Like I mentioned a few seconds ago, Huddersfield 10 last season, the relegation fodder this season, until the weekend, they're top of the league. Oh my God, Aston Villa just won. Aston Villa have won. Breaking news right here on Thursday. Aston Villa have won a game of football. Stop the presses. Stop what you're doing, sit down and take it in. Reading 1, Aston Villa 2. The second time this season, Aston Villa have won a game. You heard it here first. Well, you probably didn't hear it here first when it was uploaded, but I'm telling you that I heard it here first. I'm
well,
telling you right now.
How do you think the paper? How do you think the papers are going to be out tomorrow in Birmingham? They're going to be out the window tomorrow morning, waking up with the news that Aston Villa have defeated Reading, man.
It depends, because Birmingham won 4-2 against Rotherham, and that's what I was expected because Rotherham are bottom of the league. But if I can just get the table up, where is it? Which table? Why it's not showing the table?
I have the table, but it's still not live yet. But I have the table right now.
Oh, well, the Sky Sports app it generally gives you a live table, so if it decides to load, then I'd be able to tell you guys. But it's not loading, so I can't.
And really
you.
Quick, guys, in terms of Villa, while Momo gets the table, I managed that they were obviously managed by. I repeated that they were managed by Roberto Di Matteo, who was, I say was a prolific manager. We do know that he has managed. He managed Schalke last season. Definitely did well and took him into a Real Madrid that actually eliminated almost Real Madrid in the Champions League. I don't know if you remember that. Obviously himself also he managed Chelsea as well. When he actually managed Chelsea, he was able to win the Champions League final, defeating Bayern Munich at their own ground in the Allianz Arena. And then, obviously, you see him, how the quality has dropped with Di Matteo, and then seeing himself in the second tier of English football. But now Aston Villa does have a manager in Steve Bruce, who we know has left Hull City and now is on top of Aston Villa. And I think it definitely is a manager that can lead Villa, but it doesn't seem that it's a problem of the manager, like what we've seen from Aston Villa lately. I think it's obviously the players, and they just seem interested to be there.
Yeah, I think that's got a lot to do with it, because the thing is, my manager at work, he is a Blackburn Rovers fan, despite being up here in North Scotland. So he's like fairly clued up in the championship, because he's got a season ticket and he goes down quite regularly. He was saying that Aston Villa, under the financial fair play, are going to be screwed next season because they've spent so much money on their players. And also, it doesn't help that the new owner came out and said, within 5 years, we're going to be in the Champions League. And it's like, wow, that's big.
That is huge.
So,
that is, I mean, huge. Absolutely.
Looking at the table, it's not updated, but just guesstimating results. Villa could be as high as 16th. Plus, I need to, like, see other things. So, but hey-ho. All
right, guys. So, basically, also in the championship going on right now, Norwich City, obviously, they also got relegated last season. They're on top of the table, as well as Newcastle in second. They're only 1 point that holds them apart. I definitely do think they are strong favorites to definitely make it back into the top flight of English football, which is the Premier League. But also you have Huddersfield Town, Brighton and Hove Albion, Bristol City and Birmingham City right now in the playoff spots. And then you have Sheffield Wednesday looking from the outside, obviously that out because of goal differential. That you got Reading, Brentford, and Fulham all within 3 points, which basically tells you how tight the championship is. So basically, guys, the point that I was trying to bring is because obviously we knew Aston Villa definitely was a team that was a Premier League team. They were always going to be safe in the Premier League, and finally we saw the demise of Aston Villa. And it's not like they have a bunch of scrubs in that team either, though, Momo. It's just that they seem so uninterested. You know, they have obviously they have Gabriel Bangalore who made himself an outcast, but he was the heart and soul of that Aston Villa team at one point. I remember they signed Carlos Sanchez, the Colombian international that used to play for Elche, plays for Aston Villa now in an astronomical wages. He can't definitely leave the championship. So there's just so much that Aston Villa had. And as we know, Fabian Delph, he saw that ship was ready to explode last season. And remember, he committed to Manchester City. Then he went back and said, nah, I'm going to stay at Aston Villa because of the loyalty. But I think something triggered in his mind saying, well, why am I going to stay in an imploding team that is ready to go rock bottom? And right now, even though Aston Villa won today, they seem like a team that are at rock bottom. So we just wanted to bring that out there because Momo did bring up that stat that Villa didn't win a game in 13 games. They finally won today, but we'll see if they could actually keep a streak alive in the championship. So if you guys on the other side of the pond from the United Kingdom, if you have never watched a championship game, watch one. They're always on beIN Sports. At 7:45 a.m., you always get to catch the first game that comes out in the championship. Watch it, and you will not be disappointed. Because normally the games that are around the same time in the Premier League, the lunch hour specials, Momo, they're not that great. They really are not.
No.
Sometimes I see Middlesbrough versus Hull, and would I rather watch that, or would I rather watch Huddersfield versus Brighton? I'd rather watch Huddersfield versus Brighton because we know we're going to get a good quality game. So my suggestion to everyone out there, if you're listening in the United States, turn into beIN Sports at 7:45 a.m. Instead of watching, unless it's a big game. Like, for example, obviously if it's a Man United versus Man City or Chelsea versus Arsenal, fine, I understand that. But if it's a game like Hull versus Middlesbrough, come on, people, watch the championship game. Anything else you want to say before we move on in the championship, Momo?
No, nothing yet. It's still really early doors. It's such a competitive league, there's no point in me saying too much because within 5 weeks, it could be an entirely different set of teams in the top six. So,
yep, absolutely. I agree. I agree. I agree with Momo 100%. Momo, I'm gonna go ahead and give you the floor. Let me go ahead and give you the floor because I'm sure you've been wanting to have a show in such a long time, and I know that you have a lot to say. So I'm gonna give you the floor. Before we get into the other, topics, let's talk about your Scottish football and your Scottish football corner, man. So, what do you have for us today?
Well, Rangers, despite being garbage in the last, I believe the last show you recorded was when you just got pumped 5-1 off Celtic.
Yeah.
Which was very hard to take. We drew after that at Ibrox, which was really hard to take in. We progressed in the League Cup and have Celtic again this weekend in the League Cup semi-final. And we've also won two games in the bounce going up to Inverness last Friday and getting a 1-0 win there, which is actually 38 miles from where I live. But due to work, I couldn't go, which is quite upsetting. And we also beat Partick Thistle previous week, 2-0 at Ibrox. So we're seeming to be finding our feet. Big news out of Ibrox, though, even though it's 4 weeks old now and everybody's probably well aware, Joey Barton was suspended the week after the Celtic game. Now, my sources, I've got a lot of sources, but I don't know whether true or not, but majority of sources have been saying he squared up to Andy Halliday and had words with him about certain people's performances in the Celtic game, including his own. And then when Mark Warburton, the manager, intervened, he squared up to Mark Warburton and got in Mark Warburton's face. And he was immediately told to leave the training ground and was suspended for 3 weeks. Now, during this 3-week suspension, he got suspended for another week based on a human resources recommendation on disciplinary procedures from the club and a legal standpoint. And he's also been charged by the SFA, the Scottish Football Association, for betting on 44 games. Now, as you may or may not be aware, in Scotland, the SFA have a zero-tolerance status on betting, so you cannot bet on any form of football anywhere in the world, which to an extent I agree with, because obviously if you're betting on your own team, then you have a massive chance of influencing that.
Right.
But if you're betting on other games, like for example, Joey Barton turned around and put 50 quid on Elgin versus Clyde, what the hell is Joey Barton going to do to influence Elgin versus Clyde? Or if he turned around and put like 50 quid tonight on Leicester Copenhagen, what's he going to do to influence those games? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. This is why I don't like that stance of the SFA. Betting your own games, fine, because obviously you can influence it. That leads to a whole can of worms and corruption. But games where you're not even playing the same competition or the same league, let alone same country, why can't they bet on that? But that's the SFA to decide if he's guilty of that, etc., etc. I believe he's back at Ibrox next week for a meeting with Mark Warburton, but if you ask me, just from what I'm reading between the lines and seeing from various sources, Joey Barton's Rangers career is over.
Really?
I think so.
Wow.
Just from what I've seen, it's just, I think he's done. I can't just get off him. And the way, and this isn't against him, but the way we've been playing without him, we've been playing a lot better. So that's Rangers. Celtic are still top of the league. Celtic are fairly unstoppable just now. Hopefully we beat them in the weekend, but we'll see.
Let me cut you off there, because we obviously haven't spoken. We haven't spoken since the Rangers and Celtic, the unfortunate Rangers loss for you with the 5-1. But speaking about Celtic, we know that they had a Champions League game against Manchester City, and tomorrow they go, I believe, away to Borussia Mönchengladbach. And obviously,
they're at home.
They're at home. Okay, gotcha. So they play away in 2 weeks' time, Borussia Mönchengladbach. Got it. Okay. So basically, what I saw from Celtic, obviously they were the first team that had Manchester City drop points in the last 3 weeks, was Celtic, and I'm sure that made you fume. I know that pissed you off, like it pissed me off. But at the end of the day, I got to give credit to Celtic, how they played against Manchester City, how they positioned themselves against Manchester City, an away night, and people were talking about, how in the Premier League they like to talk about, well, let's see if this so-and-so team can go to Stoke on a cold, rainy night on a Tuesday night at Stoke. Well, it's the same exact thing on a cold night at Celtic Park in Champions League. For what I saw, it's tough, Momo.
What it is Celtic. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the outfield. It could be to do with the stadium and the atmosphere, because Celtic's home record in Champions League in the last, I'm going to say 15 years, I'd have to investigate it, but it's bloody ridiculous. They've lost like 2 games, man.
Really? How do you see tomorrow, their game against Borussia Mönchengladbach? Realistically, don't put your hand in your heart. I want you to think with your brain. I want you to think as an analyst that you are for this network. How do you honestly fare Celtic to do tomorrow?
Celtic are going to win.
Really, you think over Borussia Mönchengladbach, a team that is doing fairly well right now in the Bundesliga? If you allow me really quick to pull up the table for Borussia Mönchengladbach, Gladbach right now, they're in ninth. However, don't let that fool you, because they're only 3 points away from fourth place Hertha Berlin, 2 points from fifth place Borussia Dortmund. Gladbach right now are in a good spot, and I honestly would put money right now on Borussia Mönchengladbach as well to finish in the top four in the Bundesliga. So you really do believe that Celtic are going to beat Borussia Mönchengladbach tomorrow?
Do you want to know why?
Why? Tell me.
Their three top strikers are out.
For Borussia Mönchengladbach, yeah, I think Raphael is that right?
I can't remember the names. Raphael and two other guys read the paper today. They're out. Couple that
Christensen,
with
yeah, Christensen is out. I believe Christensen is out. I think Raphael is out, and I know there. I think Thorgan Hazard as well is out as well for the game against Celtic tomorrow.
And so that coupled with the fact that it's Parkhead, and you know, quick stat for you guys, a few years ago, Barcelona played Celtic at Parkhead. Everybody had Barcelona down to destroy them. Celtic had 11% possession. Barcelona had 89% possession, had like 600 odd passes to Celtic's 200 passes, and Celtic won 2-1.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. I remember that like it was yesterday.
So do I, because I was watching it, I was raging. I was in the pub, I was like, no, 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 this is ridiculous. They're playing tiki-taka football. How did I won't say what I said because I got a little bit, I had to have a couple of pints of, you know, but I would say a bit many, got excited, some swear words came out, the air got blue. But Celtic beat Barcelona, you know, with 11% possession. So given that their stature at home in Europe, which is bloody ridiculous, like I said, man, they've got such a good home record. And Gladbach's injuries, I can't see anything but a Gladbach loss tomorrow night.
Okay, cool. Continue on, brother.
Yeah, so that's that one for Celtic as well, because that's what I was going to go into before Hugo jumped in there, but that's a good point because he was pissed that night. Going to Elland City, we have lost every home game apart from one, which was way back in August. But our away form, which is a complete mirror to last season, we have won every game away from home apart from one. So much so, in fact, we are on the verge of getting a best ever away record in our 17-year history in Scottish League Two. If we win away from home a fortnight on Saturday, we will have won six league away games, and we've never done that before. And we are
Wow.
currently 7, 3 points behind Forfar, so I'm getting a little bit excited, but still a long way to go.
All right, any final thoughts or that's it?
That's about it, man. Because like, it's hard to in League Two. It's, you know, in comparison to Championship, obviously the standard is ridiculously massive because no team from Scotland can compete in Championship unless it's Rangers or Celtic. Even then, it'd be like mid-table playoffs maybe, but. League Two in Scotland is ridiculously competitive. Like, I think we're second. We've got 18 points, but if I'm right, without checking the table, because it's too tight to sound too early, there's like 6 points separating the four teams below us or five teams below us. So, in theory, those teams can swap in the playoff places every week if results went. So.
All right, so that's basically Momo's Scottish football corner. Excuse me, Scottish football corner. So let's go ahead and now continue on with the show, and let's talk about what we've seen lately in La Liga. Definitely have to talk about La Liga because we have what I believe, in my opinion, right now, Momo, and you can tell me otherwise. But I will fight you to the end for this. Who is the best team in Europe right now? And you can't tell me that it's not Atletico Madrid. What a joy
What?
to watch. Yes, and let me tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. So listen to me.
I'm
And again, I'm
listening.
talking about it as a cohesive team. Obviously, they don't have the best players in the world because, hell, that's Real Madrid and Barcelona. I don't care what anyone says. There's no one better than Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, Gareth Bale, Luis Suarez, Neymar, and well, Karim Benzema. Like we can make a fair argument. There are probably better strikers than Karim
No.
Benzema, being one,
But
Robert
anyway,
Lewandowski.
yeah, but I think I want to hear your reasoning.
So we look at Atletico Madrid. Right now they're joint top. Well, they're not really joint
Yes.
top. They're actually up top. They're a 4+4 goal differential against Real Madrid. Same exact record though: 5 wins, 3 losses, zero. Excuse me. 3 draws, 0 losses. But here's one thing that Atletico Madrid has over any other team in the world. Did you know that in league play they've only allowed 2 goals in 8 games to start off La Liga? Best defensive unit in the world, Momo. In the world. Felipe Luis, Diego Godin, Jose Maria Jimenez, and Juan Fran. Also, you add also a bona fide goal stopper in Jan Oblak. Then your midfield, Yannick Carrasco, who scored a fantastic hat trick against I think it was Granada. Yeah, I know it's only Granada, and they only and they beat them 7-1. But the way they did it in the second half, and they just toyed with Granada, is absolutely immense. So, Yannick Carrasco, Gabi, which I'm not a fan of Gabi, but he's actually coming around into him. And the way that Koke is now playing in the left side instead of the right side, how he feeds to Antoine Griezmann and Fernando Torres, that team is sick, Momo, in my opinion. And the way they also did away with Bayern Munich a couple of weeks ago. They beat them 1-0. Boring or not, they beat them 1-0. And I think they could, you know, they had an unfortunate draw against Barcelona. They could have definitely been Barcelona a couple of weeks ago. Remember when they played midweek, when there was the, when it was Capital One Cup time in England. And I think they could definitely beat a weakened Real Madrid side. See, the thing is that Real Madrid right now lack confidence. I'm sorry, I don't care what anyone says. Right now, listen, if you look at Real Madrid, they obviously have they're obviously having a carousel right now. James Rodriguez, we don't know what the hell's going on with him. Cristiano Ronaldo has been hot or cold this whole season, since the season has started. Yes, he could have won the Champions League last season. Yes, he won the European Championship also, which, by the way, he had, and I still contest to it, that he had no part in the final against France in the summertime. But he has been hot or cold. Gareth Bale, though, don't get me wrong, that dude has been balling in the last 8 games, or the last 10 or so games, because they played a couple of Champions League games already. But if you look as a cohesive team, there's no one better right now than Atletico Madrid, Momo. Just me telling you that they've only let 2 goals in league play, that is just absolutely fantastic, man. And at least you got to give me the fact, if you don't agree with me that they're the best team in the world, fine. That's fine. I'm still going to argue with you based on what I see in Atletico Madrid. But you at least have to give them, they have the best defense in the entire planet right now, October 18, 2016.
Yes. Best defense technically right now, because they've only scored 21 and their goal is 18. So they've only conceded 3 goals. While Barcelona are next and it's plus 16, but they scored 26, so wet in 10.
So that tells you.
Hang on a minute. I'm just let me think. Because at the end of the day, fair point. Yeah, okay. They've only let in 3 goals. But Atleti didn't pump Celtic 7-0 in the Champions League. So, therefore, defensively or not, they're not Barcelona. And
hold
therefore...
So you mean, whoa. So you mean to tell me because Barcelona... And I know you're a Barcelona head, okay? I understand that you love Barcelona and you think they're the greatest team in the world based on the fact who they have in their team. I understand that you love you some Barcelona. And listen, hey, there's nothing wrong with you loving Barcelona because realistically, they have the best players in the entire planet. But because mm-hmm. but your argument is because they beat Celtic 7-0 at the Nou Camp. Compared to Atletico Madrid beating Bayern Munich, come on, Momo. Listen to yourself, man.
I know. I was just wanting to get that bite out of you, because obviously that's me just speaking out of my blue glasses on. It's like Rangers, everything, you know, and ending anti-Celtic. But no, seriously, defensively wise, yes, they are the best, but striker wise, they are not the best, and that's what's going to let them down. When it comes down to the business end of the season, I think we will go far in competitions, but I don't think that they'll win anything. I could be wrong. I'm not saying for definite right now, but Champions League will be a little bit beyond them. But however, they could go and repeat 2014's La Liga success. I am saying it right now. I'm not saying for definite, but I am saying they could do it.
I still gotta see more from Barcelona as a cohesive unit, and I gotta see more from Real Madrid as a cohesive unit. Yes, I know that it's October. I understand 100%. It is not May. It's not April. Not even mid-March. I understand that. It's just the way that Atletico Madrid have been playing, though, Momo. They have just been a delight to watch. Yes, the game against Bayern Munich, fine. They drew back the whole time. You know, they obviously did. I think it was a counterattack. And I believe it was Antoine Griezmann or Yannick Carrasco. I forgot who scored the goal against Bayern Munich. But at the end of the day, they're able to beat the best German opposition. They have done it already, what, twice in the last 7 months, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
The last 7 months?
Mm-hmm.
I honestly feel like Barcelona will probably still win the league, but I think third time's a charm for Diego Simeone, and I think they could lead, he could lead them once again to the Champions League final. And if with this team right now that they have, how cohesive they have been, I think if they make it to a final of a Champions League game in a one-off game, they can beat any side in the world, man. Any side.
They can, but I think the Champions League will be a little bit beyond them. Just a little bit. But again, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But time will tell.
I'm just giving a lot of praise to Atletico Madrid. I mean, I get what you're saying. It's 100%. Listen, it's 100% legit. We'll see what actually does happen. But as of right now, I am loving. And not because I cheer for them in La Liga. Listen, I cheer for them. That doesn't mean I'm rah-rah and oh my God, I go buy their kits. No, they're not Dortmund. They're not Man City. But I enjoy watching them play. I love how freestyle they are. I love how defensively minded they are. And in fact, actually, and I'm glad that I have you here this now because we're discussing this.
Mm-hmm. You're right, man.
International break was last week, right? International break was last week.
Do I have to talk about this?
Well, I have to bring it up because it kind of coincides with what we're talking about. Uruguay played Colombia in Colombia,
right.
3 p.m. It was a 2-2 draw. But the way that Godin and Jimenez played, they were playing the same exact way that they were playing Atletico Madrid, which means to me that they are the best defensive unit. I'm talking about center back pairings in the entire planet. And you know what's scary is that they're Uruguayan, Momo. I'm not saying that Uruguay is going to go out there and they're going to win the World Cup. No. I'm not saying that in 2 years' time. I do believe that Uruguay are going to make it into the World Cup. I even believe that Uruguay might even win the qualification round and finish first place in World Cup qualifying for South America.
Maybe.
And when they go to the World Cup, I have a feeling that Godin and Jimenez are going to shine. Obviously, then after that, Uruguay doesn't have anything central midfield because they don't have anything. And then they just have Luis Suarez and Cavani, who if we talk about France, Cavani right now, PSG, the best thing that could have happened to Edinson Cavani was Ibrahimovic going to Manchester United because he is absolutely bossing it right now at Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say that Atletico Madrid were so smart to grab those two pairing. And Godin and Jimenez that play also for a club and country that makes them the best defense in the world. At least you've given me the fact that you believe that they are that Atletico Madrid does have the best defense in the entire planet.
You can't argue it, man. You can't argue. Anyone tells you that Atletico right now do have the best defense on the planet are talking about the backside, man. Simple as that.
How many goals have they led in the Champions League, do you know? I even want to look at that right now. I really okay. They have let in. Let me see. They're obviously in first place right now, right? Hold on. I'll tell you right now. They beat Bayern Munich 1-0, and then they went and they beat Eindhoven 1-0. So they've only won. They've won their both two games 1-0, and they still haven't let any goals in. Excuse me. You know what I'm saying? Even in the Champions League. So throughout the whole campaign and all competitions, they've only let three goals in. That's just amazing, Momo. But alas, that's just my argument. Why right now? I'm not saying that maybe in 6 months' time it's not going to change. I just think right now they're the best team on the planet. But
completely.
But in La Liga, guys, we know that Lionel Messi was also gone for Barcelona. He was gone for how many weeks? I think it was 4 weeks, Momo. Missed the international break as well. Came back on Saturday. Came back Saturday in a 5-1 win over, I think it wasn't Real Betis. Who did Barcelona beat?
Deportivo.
Deportivo La Coruña. 4-0 victory. 4-0. Came in the 56th minute, and a minute and a half later, Lionel Messi scores a goal.
Best in the world.
No, bar none. Bar none. I don't care what anyone says. Definitely best in the world. Absolutely. 150%. But realistically, though, I mean, yes, we know that Atletico Madrid also had a loss against Celta de Vigo 3 weeks ago. You know, in a 4-3 thriller, it was probably the worst game that Barcelona has played in recent memory. But I think now with the inclusion back of Lionel Messi, I think these mishaps will not happen again. I don't think they're going to let points and they're not going to let points drop anymore to lower oppositions like Celta de Vigo, like Deportivo Leganés. Excuse me, Deportivo Alaves, that's what they lost with the new camp. I think from here on out, it should be smooth sailing for Barcelona. I mean, once they obviously they face the usual suspects like Villarreal, Sevilla, Atletico Madrid, and Real Madrid, you know, we're going to see competitive games. But I think against lower side oppositions, I think they'll be fine, Momo.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine with that. I can't see much happening the way those, but you know, could be wrong because you know, stranger things have happened. Look at Aston Villa. Nobody thought they'd be that bad and go down, and look at the state of them now. It could happen.
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Let's continue on in a different league now. We're gonna leave the Premier League for last. It's really quick. I want to recap in the German Bundesliga. Borussia Dortmund have dropped two games in the last three in the last three match days. Unfortunately, they lost obviously to Red Bull Leipzig. I think it was like about 3 weeks ago, and then they dropped points against Hertha Berlin on Friday afternoon. Also, they dropped to Bayer Leverkusen right before the international break. So right now that leaves them 4 points behind Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich have not lost a game this whole season. Neither have Cologne and Red Bulls Leipzig, who they just got promoted from Bundesliga to Hertha Berlin in fourth, then Borussia Dortmund in fifth. However, I think as the league goes around, obviously, we're going to see Borussia Dortmund finish in that second spot. There's no one that's going to beat Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich have Robert Lewandowski, who is perhaps, after Luis Suarez, the best striker. Now, I'm just talking about striker. I'm not talking about, you know, wingers, but I'm talking about striker. I think he is the best striker in the planet, aside Luis Suarez. Is it surprising, though, Momo, that Dortmund have already dropped 2 points against teams that are a bit inferior in both Bayer Leverkusen and Red Bull Leipzig, who just got promoted into Bundesliga 2, excuse me, into the Bundesliga from Bundesliga 2?
No, because as we all know, or as well as some of us know, I know because RB Leipzig or Leipzig, however the correct pronunciation is, have Oliver Burke, now Scotland's most expensive player. They're doing a Chelsea almost. They're trying to buy their way to the league, because I believe 5 years ago they were in like the seventh regional division or something like that of Germany, and now they're in the Bundesliga. And it's the same with, well, not the same with Bayern, because Bayern Leverkusen are a different style of team, the way they do their operations. But I mean, Leipzig are a good team. They've had a really solid start. They've got a lot of good players. They're doing really well. Bayern Leverkusen as well. They're no mugs. They're in the Champions League, man. You've got to remember this. It could be a case of Champions League hangover for Dortmund in the game that slipped up, or possibly Champions League distraction, because I know Dortmund slipped up at the weekend, so that could even be a distraction with one eye on tomorrow. So.
I mean, obviously, you can. I mean, if you look at the German Bundesliga, well, you're always going to see Bayern Munich on top. At least it has happened for the last 5 years. And then you have your usual suspects with Dortmund obviously finishing second at most of the time. Wolfsburg, then Borussia Mönchengladbach, Bayer Leverkusen, and Schalke. We're speaking really quick about the Bundesliga, and then we'll go ahead and continue on Schalke, who are Borussia Dortmund's noisy neighbors. Schalke right now, they are a Champions League team. They've always been a Champions League team, Momo. If you always noticed, it's always been Schalke have always been in the round of 16, even going into the round of 8. They almost beat Real Madrid 2 years ago, if you recall, in that thriller series. And now they're all the way in 16th place, kind of like the same fate that Borussia Dortmund had 2 seasons ago on Jurgen Klopp's last season at Borussia Dortmund. And right now they're facing relegations. They've only won one, drawn one. 5 losses. They have a -4 goal differential. It doesn't look good for Schalke, Momo.
No, that's not good at all. I didn't realize we're struggling for Bayern, man. 16, that's... I'm pretty sure that's a relegation spot in the Bundesliga.
That's the relegation playoff. Relegation playoff.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I remember when Schalke, God, put it in there. I remember when Schalke, like, we're 5 minutes from getting the semi-finals. And then, you know, like, boom, we only had two goals. And then this season, just looking at the table now, just wow, that's just 16. What the hell? What's going on?
Yeah, it's pretty disappointing, and I think also the Europa League distraction is not being Schalke's best friend right now, because right now in the Europa League, kind of like they're kind of like following the same route as Leicester. You know how Leicester right now have been struggling in the league, but they're doing so great in the Champions League. Schalke is almost the same mirror image as Leicester this season. Obviously, we know Schalke did not win the Bundesliga last season, but they're allowing European football, especially if it's the Champions League. I would understand why Schalke would want to push a little bit further, but it is the Europa League, and I think the Europa League is getting the best of Schalke, because if you look at Schalke right now in the Europa League, they have two wins out of two games, 6 points. They're ahead of Group I, ahead of Krasnodar, FC Salzburg, and Nice. And if we talk about Nice, where Mario Balotelli is playing at right now in France, Momo, and they're top of the league. So they're obviously putting the Europa League on the back burner, but it seems like Schalke right now are putting the Europa League up front of the Bundesliga. I hope I'm wrong, because if I'm Schalke is a bona fide Bundesliga team. They haven't
Yes.
faced relegation in years. Actually, I don't even remember in my existence if Schalke have actually fallen into the Bundesliga too. But they need to put their eggs on their basket to know what is most important for them. And I think the Bundesliga should be more important for Schalke, because Schalke should be a team that should always be competing for a Champions League spot in the Bundesliga. Continuing on really quick, Momo, in Italian Serie A, Juventus still same usual spot suspects, 5 points ahead of Roma. However, the two biggest surprises are these. Number one, Inter Milan. You remember they beat Juventus about 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Then they dropped to they top they, they they've been dropping points. They dropped to Cagliari over in the excuse me over the weekend, and now Inter right now are facing in 11th place. They have 11 points. They're in 11th place with 0 goal differential. That means they don't have any plus or negative. But the other one is also their neighbors, AC Milan. They have been struggling the last couple of seasons. Right now, third in the Italian Serie A. You know, I'm happy about it. Davin is extremely happy about it,
Oh,
and
no.
I think we need a team like, and it's good for a team like AC Milan to finally start getting the strides together. They have found a gem in 17-year-old goalkeeper Donnarumma. You know, obviously doing well. They do have a tough task, which I cannot wait on Saturday. It's at 7:45 your time, Momo, 2:45 my time. They received Juventus at the San Siro. It should definitely be a cracking match, because the way AC Milan have been looking lately, they could definitely could contend for a Champions League spot. Are you going to be watching that game, by the way? That's a game that everyone should be watching if they can.
I'm going to be sitting at till number one at my store on Saturday evening, I believe. Just thinking about my role and thinking who I'm on with. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be first till by the time that role on Saturday. If I'm not up in, not, I don't have to on Saturday, so yeah. I will unfortunately not be watching that game. And even if I was at home, I would be going out for a mini run, because I have got my first ever half marathon this Sunday, which is going to be it's a daunting task.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, if I was off, I would probably make arrangements to go out and watch the game somewhere. Because I
Yeah.
don't have BT Sport in the house, but I'd probably be like, well, that's a pretty big game. So yeah,
It is.
always fancy a pint bet I'm working, so it's a no for me.
I mean, it kind of has a derby feel. We know obviously it's not a derby. It's not like the Derby d'Italia, which is Inter Milan and Juventus, who is the two most successful sides in Italian domestic football. And again, domestic, I don't care. AC Milan, 7-time European champions. No one can touch that. No one comes close to actually touching that. Not even Manchester United. Okay, but it's obviously it definitely is it's a derby feel like. And I'm excited to see what Carlos Bacazuna is going to do for AC Milan. I'll be at work too, Momo. But we have a big projector now that we sell at work now, so I've been able to put my footy games on. So I definitely will be having this, because
Awesome.
I think at 2:45, if I look at the schedule for 2:45 on Saturday,
Yeah.
which is 7:45 your time, it's Granada versus Sporting Gijón In Spain. And then if we look at the German Bundesliga, there are no games in the German Bundesliga at that time. And then let me see in Ligue 1, which I really don't care for Ligue 1 much, but for Ligue 1 at 2:45, it's Angers versus Toulouse. So obviously I have to put on AC Milan versus Juventus on my projector at work at 2:45. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen there. If I have to give you a prediction, man, I'm going to go with a one-all draw. And I'll tell you the reason. And I'll tell you the reason why. I think AC Milan have definitely improved defensively, especially now with Donnarumma also in goalkeeping. Obviously, the established now number one for AC Milan and for Italy in the years to come. Gianluigi Buffon has come out and said that this kid is going to be the next big thing in Italy, and I cannot disagree with him. But also, Carlos Bacca plays absolutely fantastic for AC Milan, and also the injury. Who was the one that got injured? Montolivo, Riccardo Montolivo. He got his leg broken a couple of weeks ago, and the players are playing. They already said they're playing this season for him. So they're all united, and I honestly do believe that AC Milan could give their opponents a run of the money. I don't think they're going to beat Juventus because they don't have enough to beat Juventus, but I think they could walk out with a one-all draw at the San Siro this Saturday, Momo.
I'm going to put the cat amongst the pigeons and say AC Milan will win.
I hope so. I hope you're right. I really hope you're right. God, that would honestly make my day. That would honestly, and if AC Milan were to win, they would cut the lead on 2 points on Juventus. So that definitely will make it great for Italian. But then again, I hope that happens. But then we're gonna have to hear Davin talk about how great Serie A is.
You know me. I love Darwin a bit. Darwin's a hero.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to over Darwin and see him, but he needs to just take off the green, white, and red Italian club glasses and look at it objectively, and maybe accept that, maybe Italian football really isn't what it used to be, and probably never will be again. It's good, don't get me wrong, but it's not what it used to
It's
be.
decent. I don't
Darwin,
think it's good.
listening,
It's
I'm sorry,
decent.
buddy, but it's decent, like Hugo said. But Davin, buddy, again, if you're listening, I love you, my pal, but Italian football is not the second best league in the world. It's not even the third best. I'm sorry. I don't love you, but I'm sorry.
Shout out to our buddy Davin Malloy, huge, huge Italian football fan. I honestly do feel like he's probably Italian underneath everything. He's from where? He's not from Scotland, is he?
No, he's in Dublin, Ireland.
He's in Ireland. Okay, so obviously he's over in Ireland, and obviously the colors of the Irish flag are orange, white, and green. But he obviously replaced the orange with the red because this kid is just a massive Italian fan. And you know what? That's awesome for him, man. You know what I like about Daff, man, is that he shows loyalty and he's loyal to Italian football. So that's
Yes,
awesome.
yes.
That's something that's awesome about Dav. So big ups to him. Guys, really quick, don't forget tomorrow, Fox Sports, Solon Sports, 1340 AM. Hope we'll be back with the Solon Sports. We're gonna be talking Perfect Plex Talk Radio tomorrow. So nothing but wrestling talk tomorrow. We're talking wrestling talk. We're gonna be reviewing Monday Night Raw, Friday Night, excuse me, I still call it Friday Night SmackDown. I gotta stop calling it Friday Night SmackDown. SmackDown Live.
Smapping live.
SmackDown Live. Also, a couple of the things that we're gonna be talking about tomorrow that Mike wants to talk about really quick is as follows. These are the topics. If I could, I got the only thing I hate about this computer is that it's really, really slow. I know that it's a temporary computer, but damn, does it suck. Let me see. Let me see. Let me see. Sorry, guys. I apologize. I'm trying to talk more about footy, but this computer doesn't want me to. Okay, here we go. So we're gonna talk about Raw review tomorrow, also SmackDown Live review. We're gonna be talking about the greatest WCW slash NWA champion ever. That's definitely that should be a fun topic.
Okay.
Charlotte Flair versus Sasha Banks. Is this the best woman rivalry ever? And
yes.
The big one. Do you care about Bill Goldberg's return? I'm not going to say anything because it's not a wrestling show. It's not a wrestling show.
I know.
It's not a wrestling show. So if you want to have your voice heard, either A, you could contact Perfect Plex Talk Radio tomorrow, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, or you could inbox me and I'll read them on air. So please, keep it to yourselves. Talk tomorrow. We are live here on the BDSR Network on FoxSports1340M.com. Let's continue on, Momo. Let's go ahead and continue on now. Let's talk about the Premier League. It's finally time that we talk about the Premier League. We finally have recapped a couple of
people. Well, you need to keep this a little bit brief because it's getting a bit late. I'm working at 5, so.
Absolutely. We're going to, yeah, that's it. And then we're going to do it really quick. The Premier League, we have, what time do you have to leave? Like in 10 minutes?
Well, yeah, because I'm working at 5 a.m.
That puts us right at the hour mark of the show, so that's awesome. So that'll be good. Really quick, in the Premier League, Man City have finally are not the Invincibles anymore, Momo. They have dropped points. Obviously, Tottenham, which I was a part of the Tottenham game at the Mad Hatter Pub and Saloon up there in New York City, the official Manchester City bar. Shout out to all the guys up there. Definitely a devastating loss for us. And also, we dropped points against Everton this past weekend. Really quick, Momo, has Pep Guardiola, have they finally found a formula to beat Pep Guardiola, or is this a blimp for Manchester City, in your opinion?
A blimp. It's a blimp. There's no way Man City are going to be stopped. I said that at the start of the season. I'm saying that again now.
Yeah, I think
no
it's
way.
And these are things that happen in football. I mean, we talked about Barcelona earlier in La Liga. You know, they obviously were stopped against Alaves. They were stopped against Celta Vigo. That doesn't mean that they're not favorites to actually win the La Liga. Arsenal, though, on a great run of games right now. Right now, also in second place. I still can't take the stench out of me, Momo, me going to an Arsenal bar. Because my friend Marco, shout out to him that lives in New York, massive Arsenal fan. He went with me. I made him suffer through the Man City bar. He made me suffer to that disgusting scrub place that is the Blind Pig up in New York City. And I was with a bunch of red-headed let me just shut up. But anyway, they beat Burnley that weekend. Then they came around and they beat Swansea. And Swansea are obviously right now with a new manager in Bob Bradley, the first ever American manager in the Premier League. I laugh because
trying to upset me. I think you're trying to upset me, aren't you? I'm going to get all the angry.
All I want to know really quick is what you think of Bob Bradley in the Premier League. That's all I want to know.
He's from MLF, not said.
Tottenham drew over the weekend against West Bromwich Albion. They're still the first. They're still the only undefeated team in the Premier League. Liverpool, on your other hand, yesterday that game against Manchester United, most boring draw that has ever happened in the last recent memory. It was a 0-0 draw. Apparently, it was the most boring game in the world.
Horrible. I got finished half an hour early from work, and then I lived like 2 minutes from work, so I ran home and like watched it like the last hour, and oh my god.
It was bad, right?
It was
Chelsea defeated Leicester in the weekend, and as we know, like I said, Everton also draw with Man City. Like I told you guys, Bournemouth completely destroyed Hull 5-1. They're now in 11th place. However, really quick about Leicester City, we're talking about the Champions League. They're taking the Champions League seriously. It seems in Leicester, they're right now 3 out of 3 in the Champions League, but right now in the Premier League, they have only won 2 out of their last 8. Have 1-2, drawn 2, lost 4. Can they get dragged into a relegation battle, Momo?
Sorry, who?
Leicester.
Yes, they are going to. Ranieri here today with folks in the Champions League. It's like, yep, and yes, I understand why, because, you know, obviously, they're never going to be there again.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, enjoy it while they can, get as far as they can, if they can. However, and yeah, okay, they got a load of money for winning the league last year and being in Champions League. But at the end of the day, right, the Premier League is your bread and butter.
Okay, of course. I agree. I agree 100%. I agree. Another team really quick, the newly promoted teams, Burnley. Burnley, Middlesbrough, and who was the third team? Damn, I lost my train of thought. Burnley, Middlesbrough. Who also got promoted? Hull. Thank you. Wow. I can't believe. I'm so always used to seeing Hull in the Premier League. I know they were only down one season. But really quick, when we started off the show and with the seasons earlier in August, we all said that Middlesbrough were going to be safe. Well, right now they haven't won any games out of the Riverside. They've only won one out of their last eight in the Premier League. I fancy them going down. I don't see they have such a core of great players: Negredo, Valdez, Stuani from Uruguay. They have such a great core of players, and for some reason, Boro just cannot. They just can't do it, Momo.
It's really early. I know I said a couple of things at the start of the season, like Burnley having no chance, and right now I'm completely wrong about that. So this is why I'm reserving my judgment, because I could be wrong, could be right. I mean, it's so difficult.
I think we could agree that Sunderland definitely is going down. If we look at the relegated teams, I think it's time for finally Sunderland to go down. Moyes hasn't done nothing for that team.
I reckon, but have a good chance of going down, but they might pull off a great escape, because you know what it's like at the end of the season, teams suddenly start putting games and win. Yeah, Sunderland start putting wins and games together out of nowhere. Like remember when Wigan stayed up a couple of years ago, they beat yourselves and they beat Man United. They're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And they somehow stayed up. It was like, that's just ridiculous. So you just don't know, man.
You think MLF is going to go down? Talking about Swansea. I'm going to call MLF from now on.
I think that's it, MLF.
And really quick, guys, before we go and get out of here, because Momo has to go, we'll definitely be back sometime this week and record another show. Champions League today, I'm just going to go through the fixtures really quick. Dortmund defeated Sporting Lisbon 2-1. Leicester defeated Copenhagen 1-0. Porto defeated Club Brugge 2-1. They actually came back from behind and won. Juventus in the 76th minute, goal by Juan Cuadrado, defeated Lyon 1-0. Real Madrid 5-1 victors over Legia Warsaw. CSK Moscow in a 1-0 draw with AS Monaco. Sevilla defeated Dinamo Zagreb in Croatia 1-0. And Bayer Leverkusen drew with Tottenham 0-0. Tomorrow, Momo, quick predictions. Rostov receive Atletico Madrid. How do you see that game going?
Atleti.
PSG versus FC Bao. Who do you got? In Paris.
Draw.
Oh, that's a huge one. Dinamo Kiev against Benfica. It's in Ukraine.
Draw.
Napoli versus Besiktas. It's in Naples.
Napoli. Sure.
Celtic versus Borussia Mönchengladbach. You got Celtic. You already said that earlier. Arsenal versus Ludogorets in the Emirates. You have to go with an Arsenal win.
Ludogorets. No, I can't see it. You never know, but I don't know.
Bayern Munich versus PSV.
Bayern.
And then Barcelona versus Manchester City, which is the big game tomorrow. So the biggest one out of the two fixtures. Who you got? You got to go with the Barcelona win. I can't see nothing but a Barcelona win. I mean, I could see a 1-0 draw if they just defend, but I just can't see. If they play 1-on-1 football against Barcelona, Man City have no chance.
It's hard because it's Pep Guardiola.
I know. Last time Pep Guardiola went there, got handed to them by Barcelona when he was managing Bayern Munich. Remember that? So I'm going to go really quick. I'm going to go Atletico Madrid, PSG, Dinamo Kiev to beat Benfica, Napoli to beat Besiktas. I'm going to go with a 1-0 draw between Celtic and Borussia Mönchengladbach. I just hate Celtic after what happened against Man City. That's it. That's right. I'm talking with my heart. Arsenal to defeat Ludogorets. I'm going with a Barcelona 1. I'm going to go with a 2-1 win over Man City, and I'm going to go with a Bayern Munich destruction over PSV Eindhoven. I think Robert Lewandowski will probably score 3 or 4 on them. But anyway, guys, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Definitely, it was great to be back on the air. We'll be back with more time, obviously, hopefully this weekend, if not throughout the week. Momo, thank you once again. Don't forget tomorrow, Solon Sports. We're talking about Perfect Plex Talk Radio. Mo, anything else you want to say before we get out of here, man?
No, I just want to say thanks again, and hopefully that people tune in and hear the show, and hopefully they're glad to hear us back. I'm certainly glad to be back. I know you are too. It's been a long month, but it's a little bit. It's great to be back.
Absolutely. All right, guys, for Momo, Rick, have fun in Barcelona. Get pissed drunk over there. Andy, I don't know where the hell you are at, but anyway, for Rick, Andy, Momo, and myself, we'll see you all next week. Peace.